All right, we've got an update on Brock Purdy. John Lynch just spoke on KMBR, as he does every Friday morning, and he said that Brock Purdy has actually undergone an MRI in the recent days, and this seems like good news for the 49ers. The quote is, "We feel good about where it's at from that standpoint," end quote. So structurally, everything seems to be in a place where the 49ers are not too alarmed about Brock Purdy's shoulder. That being said, they want him to feel good enough to be able to throw and play on Sunday against Green Bay. Those of you who have been following along know that Brock Purdy exited practice yesterday after about the second period. John Lynch on KMBR just said that that was actually pre-planned. He went in to do rehab. So what we saw on Wednesday was Brock Purdy at practice throughout the duration of time that the media window lasted, the first period to the fourth period, but he did not throw the football. He was doing some footwork drills, the quarterbacks to his left and to his right. So that was Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs and Tanner Mordecai would all do the footwork drill and throw the football, but Brock Purdy wouldn't throw. He would do everything except for throw on Wednesday. So zero throws on Wednesday. Yesterday, we did see Brock Purdy throw, as I reported, but only in the very start of the warm-up period. And then he left the field. John Lynch just explained that that was pre-planned. Kyle Shanahan, yesterday when he was on KMBR, did not divulge that one way or the other. But Lynch said that there has been a gradual ramp-up plan this week for Brock Purdy with no throwing on Wednesday and then some throwing yesterday. Obviously, optically, when we're there watching practice and Purdy's tossing the ball around a couple times and then he runs in after the second period, it was jarring. So that's why there have been so many questions. That's why this has been dramatic. The 49ers themselves, John Lynch himself, just said that it's a tenuous situation. If Purdy cannot start, Brandon Allen will start against the Green Bay Packers. Both Allen and Josh Dobbs would be ready to go, but Allen won the QB2 battle, so that means that he's the next man up. Dobbs would be ready to play as well against the Green Bay Packers instead of just being the third emergency quarterback for the 49ers. In the event that Brock Purdy wouldn't be available to go, well, I think you would have to gauge how unavailable, right? If he'd be completely unavailable, no circumstance, can't play on Sunday, then Tanner Mordecai might be the 49ers emergency quarterback. But it is also theoretically possible that if Brock Purdy is not healthy enough to start, he becomes the third emergency QB for the 49ers. I don't know how they would cross that bridge. They probably have only had preliminary contingency discussions about that. I think the entire focus right now is on trying to get Brock Purdy ready to go for Sunday. He's going to come in today. They're going to have the very light practice today. I would believe the 49ers fly today. They usually do for games in the Central or Eastern time zone, so they're not flying the day before the game. Obviously, see how the injury, which we don't know exactly what it is. Lynch said that the 49ers are happy with the MRI results. We know that it's shoulder soreness. Lynch said that it happened at some point during the game against the Seattle Seahawks. He doesn't know exactly what play it happened on. He says Purdy's not even exactly sure what play it happened on. If I had to speculate, he did dive across the pylon to score a touchdown. Might have happened there. When Purdy hurt his rib, broke it in his first career start against Tampa Bay back in 2022, that happened on a scramble play near the sideline. I believe he was diving at the time as well. So that's just naturally a play where I think that injury risk is a little bit higher. I don't have that confirmed. So in that case, I'm just speculating. Lynch said that he did notice that Purdy was fighting through something during the game on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks because he kept on throwing when he was on the sideline more than usual. He was trying to keep the shoulder warm during that game. I thought that he missed an uncharacteristic pass when the 49ers were trying to seal the game. The dig route to Deebo Samuel sailed it high. Purdy's been historically accurate on passes like that. Those in between the numbers, crossers, timing-based throws, those are the ones where he's made most of his bread and butter. And on that one, he just missed, and quarterbacks do miss. So, I mean, whether it's Joe Montana, Tom Brady, or Brock Purdy, you're going to have missed throws regardless. In retrospect, now that we know of the shoulder issue, we wonder if that had something to do with it. Maybe that's something that Brock Purdy will talk about if he does discuss this with the media today. Purdy did not meet with the media yesterday. No 49ers quarterback did. He typically does on Thursdays. They're going to run a quarterback out there today. Maybe they throw Brock Purdy and Brandon Allen out to the media today, because if they're not sure how Purdy's going to feel on Sunday, it could be one of those ambivalent situations. John Lynch on KMBR also talked about Nick Bosa, who he said made an incredible jump last week when he was coming back from the hip slash oblique injury that prevented him from practicing on Wednesday and Thursday. He actually suffered it in practice on Wednesday before the 49ers played Tampa Bay. Nick tried to practice through it that Tampa Bay week, and he was in a lot of pain when the 49ers played the Bucs. So he decided to recalibrate last week and decided that I'm not going to practice on Wednesday and Thursday. I'll only practice in the light session on Friday if I feel better. And not practicing on Wednesday and Thursday allowed Nick Bosa to make a tremendous jump. John Lynch called it an incredible jump. And he ended up playing really well against the Seattle Seahawks. Two sacks, and very ironically got hurt on the second sack of Geno Smith. And Bosa explained it as an overcompensation thing. He was compensating for the side that was hurt, so he hurt the other side, the other hip, the other oblique, whatever you want to call it. I think it's termed as both in the official NFL injury report. So now Nick Bosa doing a little bit worse than he was last week. That's what he said on Wednesday. He said he was a little bit more sore on Wednesday of this week than last week. Obviously, the plan is the same for Nick Bosa. There's a lot of rest that's happening right now. We will see if he goes back out to practice today. I would not be shocked if he's not out there today, just because based on what he told us Wednesday, he was a little bit behind last week's schedule. That being said, for both Bosa and for Trent Williams, this decision is going to go all the way up until game time. The 49ers are not going to be in a rush, and they don't need to be in a rush with either of their two star players. Williams is dealing with an ankle injury. Williams gutted through it last week. You know, we were watching out on the field as he was making that last minute decision whether or not to play. It was a yes, and he fought through it. And it's a brutal sport. Sometimes fighting through an ankle injury comes at a cost. I mean, you're going to be a little bit more sore at the very least over the course of the next week. So now it's a matter, and that was an important game. And unfortunately for the 49ers, they weren't able to win the game, but Trent Williams really did put it on the line last week, playing through pain. He didn't practice at all. So now the question is, will he be feeling well enough to contribute? Because I guarantee you that Trent Williams, if it was just a matter of playing or not playing, he would play. But he's also a smart guy, and he knows when his play might compromise what the 49ers are doing on the offensive side of the ball. He, in the NFC Championship game against the Rams, he regrets playing in that game. That was January of 2022. Had a high ankle sprain. I don't think this is a high ankle sprain. This is a low ankle situation. But in January of 2022, Williams decided to strain through it in the NFC Championship game against the Rams. And he said, you know what? I probably should have let Colton McKivitz play that game. 49ers, he says, we might have won that game had I not tried to push through it. So I think that Trent is very mindful, especially given that experience of, will my play help the team or hurt the team based on how hurt I am? And that's a complicated calculus, complicated decision that probably cannot be finalized until Sunday morning in this case. And it might be the same thing with Nick Bosa, who made the incredible jump last week. I briefly said hello to Nick in the locker room yesterday, asked him how he's feeling. He said he's feeling good. He told me, thanks for asking. So I do get the sense, just based on the mood in the locker room, that Nick is feeling better as this week goes along. And with Trent Williams, I know that he put himself through a whole heck of a lot just to play last week. So that's something that I wouldn't be as optimistic on. But that's just my read of this from being around the team. And I do know that the 49ers and Bosa and Williams themselves are in this position of ambivalence right now. They're in this position of, we're going to wait until the very last minute to decide this because it is such an important decision and they want to have all of the data available. By the way, the 49ers have welcomed back Charvarius Ward to the team. He was in meetings starting on Monday. He's been at practice on Wednesday and Thursday, and we'll see how big of a role he has for San Francisco against Green Bay on Sunday. John Lynch believes that Christian McCaffrey is close to exploding statistically. And I think that Christian's been good. I also think that the 49ers were not their cohesive selves against the Seattle Seahawks offensively. I mean, there was a really important Christian McCaffrey play, little swing screen pass that he took down inside the 5-yard line that got called back to an illegal formation penalty. And if that play doesn't get called back due to an illegal formation penalty, then we're probably talking about a 49ers touchdown, a 49ers win. And, you know, maybe that would have been a Christian McCaffrey touchdown to spearhead the 49ers win. And all of a sudden, everybody's talking very differently about his performance. He's already made a couple wow plays since his return, including the rainbow catch against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sometimes it's as simple as the 49ers offense is not clicking, and the players within that offense, because the unit as a whole is not clicking, are not going to be dazzling you the same way that they dazzled over the course of the past season and a half entering this 2024 campaign. Lynch believes that McCaffrey is very, very close, though, and he believes the 49ers are really close to just letting loose offensively. Remember that they scored 36 points the first time they played the Seattle Seahawks. That was without McCaffrey in October. They managed only 17 this past weekend. This just goes to show you that the offense was not firing on the cylinders that it's capable of. When you put up about 20 fewer points than the last time that you faced the defense, I don't care if that defense has a little bit more firepower this time. That is a huge, huge downgrade in point production. And I do think it's illustrative of how the 49ers were not on their A game this past Sunday. You know who was on his A game? Juwan Jennings. And when we talk about the 49ers trying to finish games, and I know that I shared some of the statistics the other day of the 49ers defense just falling off a cliff in the fourth quarter. They're the number 4 overall defense in EPA in the first quarter. They're number 7 in the second quarter. They're number 13 in the third quarter. And then they're number 28 in the fourth quarter. So the defense has eroded and then fallen off a cliff over the course of games. And now everybody's talking about the 49ers and their inability to finish. And we talk about the games against the Los Angeles Rams. We talk about the Arizona Cardinals game. We talk about this game against the Seahawks, three divisional games which the 49ers have blown at the end. Well, John Lynch says that it's about setting an example, that it's certain leaders on the team have to really establish that tone of finishing. And he says that Juwan Jennings is a prime example of that. The way that he dragged 4 defenders across the first down line against the Seattle Seahawks, he's saying that that's something that needs to rub off on the rest of the 49ers team, especially on the defense. Now, there's an extenuating circumstance for the defense, right? They lost Nick Bosa last week fairly early in the third quarter. Bosa, when he was in there on the plays that he aligned at edge rusher for the 49ers, they gave up 3.3 yards per play and no touchdowns. When Bosa wasn't in there, they gave up 6.1 yards per play and 2 touchdowns. So personnel is a huge part of finishing. But when we talk about straining that extra mile, that extra inch, I guess, you don't have to go an extra mile, it's the extra inch to win these games. And you're out there and you look at your 10 teammates, you're not thinking about, or you shouldn't be thinking about, who's next to you and who's not. You can't be saying, oh, well, Bosa's on the sideline, let's pack it up and let's go. You have to find a way to get the job done. Juwan Jennings, when he caught that football on 3rd and 11, nearing the goal line that was in the red zone for the 49ers, he wasn't thinking about, oh, this is not a very good situation. I'm 5 yards short of the third down line and 4 defenders are draped on my back. I might as well go down. He wasn't thinking about how disadvantageous the situation was. He thought about, how do I carry these 4 defenders? Despite the odds being against me, how do I carry them across the first down line? So that's how John Lynch wants the 49ers as a whole to think. And I think in particular, the defense, which has been bad in that fourth quarter, the offense has actually been the number six offense by EPA in the league in the fourth quarter. So the 49ers have not dropped off a similar cliff, at least on the aggregate numbers over the course of the season offensively. But defensively, there have been struggles late in games. Lynch wants Jennings to be the example that the rest of the team follows as far as finishing mentality. And I don't think that's a bad leader to rally around. And that's how who the 49ers are going to have to rally around in Green Bay this week. Some NFL news. We've heard that the New York Giants are in the process of releasing their quarterback, Daniel Jones, who'd have been playing scout team safety this week. That was wild to me. I talked to Chase Lucas, 49ers DB, on the practice squad in the locker room yesterday because he's the 49ers main scout team guy. And he does everything for the scout team. Chase Lucas plays DB for the scout team, but he also plays some receiver for the scout team. He calls himself the Travis Hunter of the 49ers. So he's a big scout team guy. So I go up to Chase and I'm like, hey, have you heard of what the New York Giants are making Daniel Jones do? They're making him play scout team safety. And he was absolutely shocked. And Isaac Yiadom is right there. Isaac Yiadom is a former New York Giant. And he said to Daniel Jones, that type of guy. He said, Daniel Jones is a player who would just, you know, say, yes, I'll do my job. And he did his job here over the past couple of days, but mercifully now it appears that the New York Giants are going to be releasing him. It is after the trade deadline. So Daniel Jones will have to clear waivers, which means I would think that somebody's going to pick him up. Well, actually maybe no. Let's look at his contract this year. I highly doubt somebody will pick him up, actually, if they don't want to pick up the remaining salary. I don't know if it's in signing bonus or base salary this year, so we're going to look at that. Because if you do pick somebody up off of waivers, you do grab the contract. And I'm looking at the contract now just so I know. Oh, yeah, people don't want that contract. So I'm fairly certain that Daniel Jones will clear waivers. He is subject to waivers. There are 2 years left on the deal. This year's deal is a massive base salary. They didn't do any restructures on that. So this year's deal is a $35.5 million base salary. A new team would still owe probably a $15 million of that this year. So that I think that's too expensive. And next year's not guaranteed. 2026 is not guaranteed, but it's $30 million and $46.5 million. It's more about this year's salary. And if nobody's willing to pick up the whatever's left of the $35.5 million this year, again, about $15 million, just doing the rudimentary math in my head. Nobody's willing to do that, then he's going to clear waivers, and then he's going to be free to sign anywhere. So that's going to be fascinating. I think Daniel Jones could be a quality backup in this league. He was somebody that was drafted surprisingly high because of the whole physical upside quest that we've seen so many front offices embark on, including John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. That was the whole physical upside quest with Trey Lance. I think that the better bet for finding a quarterback who's going to pan out is college experience. Don't go for these. You want 4 years of college experience if you could find it. San Francisco was able to get that with Brock Purdy, but they still waited until pick 262 to get him. But I think now that Purdy has succeeded for the 49ers, I think a lot of teams are going to try that formula. They're going to look for guys with as much experience as possible, and they're going to value that over some of this athletic upside because there's so much volatility that goes with, okay, he's 6'5", and he could run, and he's got a big arm, but it's about playing the quarterback position. That being said, everything that I heard about Daniel Jones, including what I heard yesterday from one of his former teammates in the 49ers locker room about, he's just a yes-sir type of guy, a guy that will go out there and execute what's needed of him to execute it, whether it be the scout team safety position at practice or whatever. I think that's going to be a good guy to have on your football team. So somebody will pick Daniel Jones up. It's not his fault that the New York Giants grossly overpaid him in the fashion that they did without the track record to speak for. You know, these teams have fallen in love with athletic projections to the point where they double down on them when they already have the player in the building and they already should know that the sample of data is not big enough for that type of commitment, but they do it anyway. It's what bad franchises do. Good franchises can make a mistake, but then they move off of the mistake. I think we've seen it with the 49ers where, yeah, they made the mistake. They, you know, poured so much into Trey Lance. They took the swing. I think people, a lot of people are happy they took the swing, but when the time came for them to realize that that swing was fruitless, they didn't line back up and take another empty swing. They decided to trade Trey Lance for actually a miraculous price. Getting the draft pick that they did get back from the Cowboys, the fourth rounder, was a steal. They turned around and used that fourth rounder on Malik Mustafa, who is now a starting safety for the team. The reports are that Daniel Jones and John Mara mutually agreed that the move would be for the best. That's cutting Daniel Jones. The team will take on over $20 million in dead money. Anyway, we'll see what happens with Daniel Jones. Will the 49ers sign him as a backup? Well, he's probably going to clear waivers. We'll see if the 49ers are interested. We've seen quarterback reclamation projects before with the 49ers. Sam Darnold is a good one. Daniel Jones was never nearly as good as Sam Darnold in college, though, which is really interesting. Daniel Jones, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of the Josh Allen projection. I think a lot of teams took big-time swings on quarterbacks with athletic upside simply thanks to Josh Allen, who never played great, efficient football until he was in the NFL for some time. I think 2020 was the true breakout year for Josh Allen. The 49ers played the Bills in Arizona. They hosted the Bills in Arizona, Monday Night Football, barely anybody in the stadium. Remember how awesome Josh Allen was in that football game? So the Bills took this swing on just raw, unfiltered physical upside in Josh Allen, and it worked out for them. They developed an all-pro quarterback, and then, you know, everybody has been like, okay, well, we want to do something similar. But these things haven't worked. I think a lot of the 49ers drafting of Trey Lance was rooted in the Bills' success with an unproven, inaccurate prospect like Josh Allen. The 49ers saw moldable clay. And I think that there is also a good franchises, at least, will have the realization and they'll put it into their thought process. They'll embed it. They'll bake it into the calculus of their decision-making that no draft pick is a sure thing. Even one that you pick very, very high up in the first round is a sure thing. And it's a swing. Some swings hit, some swings miss. You better hit later on the critical mass of picks that's necessary to build a roster that can sustain itself, even if that very high swing misses. And that's what the 49ers were able to do. Landing Brock Purdy at pick number 262 was very, very important for the 49ers. So we'll see where Daniel Jones goes next. Would not shock me if at some point he'd be in a 49ers uniform. Now, I mean, do I think it's likely? No, there's other teams that he could sign with, but the 49ers have taken on quarterbacks with physical upside into the backup role, and I think Daniel Jones might be a fine backup in the NFL, and he likely will have the freedom to decide where he's going to sign. Now, the question is, will the 49ers have room to add him to the team this year? Or is this going to be something that, you know, they're going to have to look at the quarterback room again over the course of the offseason? They've got a couple guys on one-year deals behind Brock Purdy, and Purdy himself is only under contract through next season, through 2025. We'll soon be talking about the Brock Purdy contract extension. But first, we're talking about the Brock Purdy shoulder update. Those of you just joining, Brock Purdy has undergone an MRI. This happened at some point over the course of this week. This is what John Lynch revealed on KMBR. Lynch said that the 49ers are happy with where that's at. That was his quote about the MRI situation. So that's all we know. Structurally, it seems that Brock Purdy's shoulder is in a decent spot. The 49ers now are going to see how practice goes today before taking any next steps. They should fly to Green Bay after practice today. That's obviously another marker in potential injury evaluation because you want to see how a player's body handles a flight. So the 49ers are going to do that. And then this, along with the Bosa and the Trent Williams situations, might involve decisions that go up to game time. I think it's a good time to get our roster open, don't you think? 49ers 90-man depth chart and full roster. Let's go forward right here. So we've got Purdy in the injury shading. Brandon Allen would start in his place. Running back room healthy right now. Receiving room has Jacob Cowing going through the concussion protocol. He did not practice yesterday after being limited on Wednesday, so that's not trending in the right direction for Jacob Cowing. Tight end room, healthy. Offensive line room, healthy. By the way, John Lynch today, this is a good little segue. I have a good quote from John Lynch on the 49ers offensive line room. This is where fans have this very, very wrong. Fans just want to blame somebody at all times, but they want to blame people that often are not responsible for the gist of the 49ers' problems. And I get it. There have been weaker links than others on the 49ers' offensive line, but John Lynch today said, I think our O-line has been pretty good this year. I don't always agree with PFF, but I'm in line with them. The 49ers' offensive line, by the way, does rank between number 8 and number 12 in composite pass protection rankings, which is a big step up from last season when they were in the 20s. Jake Brendel has not been as strong in pass protection, although the run blocking has been solid from Jake Brendel this year. And Aaron Banks has not had a great year in pass protection, but Colton McKivitz has improved significantly. Dominic Pooney is one of the best young offensive linemen in football. Trent Williams is Trent Williams. Last year, you just had Williams in a vacuum. Everything else was bad for the 49ers last year. That's not the case this year. The line has taken some steps up, and for some reason, it's still taking the brunt of the blame for some of the 49ers' struggles when the data, the tape, whatever we want to look at just isn't the case. Anyway, I digress. That's one thing that John Lynch just said today on KMBR, and I do think it is important to put facts in front of feelings. On the defense, Nick Bosa and Kevin Givens both hurt on that defensive line. Bosa dealing with the injury that we talked about. Can he make another incredible jump? We shall see. Kevin Givens is still out with the groin issue and has now missed, I think it's 2 or 3 games, has been out of practice for a while. So that continues to linger for Kevin Givens. Healthy at the linebacker room, Dre Greenlaw's practice window might open up this next week. That is significant news. And then in the DB room, Charvarius Ward is back for the 49ers. We'll see if he starts or if he's slowly reintegrated into the 49ers lineup as this game against the Green Bay Packers progresses. So that's a look at your 49ers roster. Please do head on over to the San Francisco Standard, where we have written about Brock Purdy and the 49ers. This was yesterday. We're going to have our predictions piece coming out soon. As you can see at the bottom here, Tim and I are doing one of the live Q&As. That's Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific time after this game against the Packers. Either way, we're going to have a lot to talk about. Either the 49ers will be very, very close to having their season gone, their playoff hopes gone. I think their chances will be down to 15% if they lose, or the 49ers will be resurgent, back from the dead, if they can find a way to beat the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay is now a 3-point favorite against San Francisco. This is the first regular season game in which Brock Purdy is the underdog. Isn't that wild? He was the underdog in the NFC Championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles, which the 49ers lost. That's where he got hurt. That was the 2022 season. But other than that, Purdy's been a favorite through and through for the 49ers, which I think is amazing. Everybody's saying, well, the 49ers play better when they're underdogs. Well, they've rarely been underdogs over the past few years. They've been the powerhouse in the NFL. They were even favored over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So I don't know. I don't think that we know how the 49ers play when they're underdogs, because that was an entirely different set of players, you know, with a couple exceptions. Guys like George Kittle, Trent Williams were still around last time they were underdogs a little bit more often. I would say probably, what, the 2021 season, maybe early 2022, the 49ers were underdogs a little bit more often. But I do think that people need to pump the brakes with the underdogs talk, because you just don't know how the 49ers do respond in this type of role. I do know that under Kyle Shanahan, they have been very good with their backs up against the wall. And I would say that their backs are up against the wall as they face the Green Bay Packers coming up on Sunday. Any questions? Toss the questions in, and we'll go from there. This show is brought to you by Public Rec. Are you tired of squeezing into stiff dress pants at that holiday party? Well, this season, unwrap the gift of comfort with the Game Changer pants from Public Rec. The office pants that look like Monday but feel like Sunday. Imagine clocking in while feeling as cozy as if you were still in bed. With a soft hand feel and smooth drape, these pants are fan favorites for a reason. Whether you're closing deals in the boardroom, navigating holiday travel, or mingling at company parties, the Game Changers will keep you looking sharp and feeling great. Public Rec is the ultimate men's clothing brand for blending comfort and style seamlessly. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. They actually did send me some of the pants and a shirt, and I've been very, very happy with them. They are comfortable. They look good too. Margo really likes what Public Rec sent us. So we got to get her to read this. I think that would be more effective. If your wife is happy with it, then it probably does look good. So stop suffering in regular pants and give the gift of comfort this holiday season. For a limited time only, our listeners get 20% off when you use the code Lombardi at checkout. That's 20% off with the code Lombardi at publicrec.com. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Give yourself or someone you love the gift of comfort this holiday. Public Rec, code Lombardi. All right, that's your 49ers update. How about a 49ers Q&A right now? I'm ready for a couple questions. Mike, 20% off. Wow. Hey, in this economy, 20% off? That can tip the scales. That can push some people that way. So why not? No, Bosa is not out for sure on Sunday. We got people asking. We're not going to know about Bosa. We're not going to know about Trent Williams until Sunday. We might not know about Brock Purdy until Sunday, although we should know a little bit more at practice today when I head down there. Is Brandon Allen still QB2? Yes, Brandon Allen is still QB2. Won that job in training camp, has held on to it throughout this season, the first, 11, 12 weeks of this season. John Lynch on KNBR said that Allen would get the first snaps against Green Bay, but Dobbs would be available to play. And if there are struggles with a backup quarterback, you're much more willing to go to the other backup quarterback. You're much more willing to play the hot hand way of things in a game. So we just have to see how it goes, but we're not at that point yet. Right now, we're still talking about Brock Purdy trying to get ready to play on Sunday. How is the weather in Green Bay this weekend? Weather looks good. Weather looks high of 44 on Sunday, nighttime low of 35, so not even quite freezing. It will start freezing on Monday. There was no precipitation in the forecast for Sunday. I know everybody watched the snow globe game yesterday. That was really cool. I thought that was a fitting setup for 49ers Packers because the last time that the 49ers were at Lambeau, they got the snow globe. Jimmy Garoppolo, that was awesome from Jimmy Garoppolo, playing with a torn shoulder and a torn thumb ligament, guided them down the field, made a couple great throws, and I mean, it was -2 degrees with that injury. A couple great throws to Debo, then he threw to George Kittle, who actually beat Devondre Campbell. They're in the snow. Debo ran on 3rd and 7 to set up the field goal. That was a first down, a conversion for Debo Samuel. Robbie Gould kicked it through. That snow globe game brought great, great lifelong memories for the 49ers and their fans. The game last night between the Browns and the Steelers, it wasn't as important. It was a regular season game. One of the teams was 2-8 entering the game. So, I mean, you couldn't be as nervous watching the game, but it was just fun to watch. So aesthetically pleasing to see a snow game like that. Can you believe that Cleveland wants to build a domed stadium? Stop that. I mean, you're Cleveland. Take advantage of that the lake effect wind. Like that's what Cleveland's about, right? It's about these gritty conditions right on the lake. It makes it hard for teams like the Steelers to go in there and win. I think that Cleveland has won 5 of the last 6 against Pittsburgh at home. They'd just be eliminating that home field advantage if they moved inside. Anyway, that was cool to see yesterday. It started out with no snow. It finished with a lot of snow, and the Browns ended up getting the win. Reminded me of the last time the 49ers went into Green Bay to get the job done, and that was just a hell of a performance. I mean, you talk about throwing stats out the window. They were underdogs. They had to scrap and claw their way. Garoppolo outplayed Aaron Rodgers. Remember, Rodgers couldn't move the ball at all in crunch time of that game. He moved the ball a little bit in the first half, but then it was nothing. Fred Warner's punch out, Mercedes Lewis, right? I think it was against Mercedes Lewis, was a massive, massive momentum changer in that football game. But the 49ers were straining. They managed the game. It's all you can do in that kind of weather. And finally, Talanoa Hufanga off the Jordan Willis block tied the game. And then that winning drive to set up the Robbie Gould field goal, that was one for the ages. Unfortunately for the 49ers, that 2021 season was such a battle with injury attrition that they ran out of gas against the Rams next week. I mean, you had Garoppolo playing with the shoulder tear, which would require surgery, which kept him with the 49ers because nobody wanted to trade for him. And he was dealing with the thumb ligament. You had other guys that were just worn down. You went from playing in -5-degree weather to having to play in the NFC Championship game. The Rams got to play in Tampa Bay, which was a lot easier on their bodies. It actually isn't surprising to me that the 49ers ran out of gas against the Rams that next week. But it was still a season filled with awesome memories for the 49ers as that happened. Really, really good memories in Green Bay for San Francisco. All right, everybody, thanks for watching. Good times. We will see you soon. That's your Brock Purdy injury update and a 49ers Q&A. 49ers happy with MRI results. That happened at some point over the past few days, according to John Lynch on KNBR, and I'll have more from practice in a bit.